because this is a talk about the future, I'm going to be talking about the past. I want to reminisce a little bit. First of all, I'm really thrilled to be here because Ten Brook has inspired me for my entire career. If I could just be a little bit like him, I think I'll end my career very happy. So I'm reminiscing, prompted by a visit to our campus a few weeks ago by Congressman John Lewis. And I want to talk about the civil rights movement and then about disability rights. And I want to talk a little bit about the current generation and a little bit about my worries there. So I actually lived in Baltimore for 5 years going to Hopkins. This was the civil rights movement, and I recall, among other things, canvassing here in Baltimore to defeat a state proposition called My Home is My Castle, which was an anti-fair housing proposition. And I started thinking a bit about why we were all involved in the civil rights movement. I mean, that was my generation. And Congressman Lewis and I did have some exchange about reminiscing about what it was like, especially because when he was talking, they brought in 1,000 school kids from all over San Francisco. And he started talking about applying to college and being turned down by all the colleges because they were white colleges and the kids were not interested. So we started talking a little bit about what it was that moved us to be in this kind of movement. And I'm sure you know that Ten Brook also was part of the general desegregation movement. The historian Felicia Kornbluth has written some very interesting articles about his consultation on school desegregation. So I wanted to now talk about San Francisco State, where I first met Fred. But I want to begin by talking about what got me into doing disability rights. I'd never done that before. I'd done civil rights. I'd been lifted onto a bus, which was enormously scary because I knew I could get off that bus without help. It just never occurred to me that civil rights could be for me. I just assumed that it was my fate never to be able to get onto a bus. By the way, I haven't been on a bus since. Nevertheless, and two young men came to see me. This was after our strike, which was managed for the strike headquarters and managed just by people with disabilities, faculty members with disabilities, because we couldn't pick it quite as easily. And two young men came to see me. They were freshmen, and they were blind, and they said to me that they heard there was a disabled faculty member. And could I help them because, and this was very unusual for students, they were being prohibited from doing a general education requirement. I had a steady stream of students complaining that they wanted to get out of the requirement. But they were being prohibited from doing the math requirement. Both of them, by the way, had had 4 years of high school math. So I dragged myself up to the chair of the mathematics department. And I did that, I realized finally, not for them, but for me. Because I had also, after I had polio, been banned from school on the ground that if I failed, the school would be responsible. And I remember the terror that I felt about not being able to get an education, and particularly not knowing whether I could learn math by myself. And this poor man had a furious young female crippled assistant professor yelling at him. And he explained to me that they just could not let these two students into a math class because they didn't know how to teach them, because when you're teaching math, you write on the blackboard. In fact, he said, when you're teaching anything, you write on the blackboard. Now, as it happens, I don't write on the blackboard because I can't reach the blackboard. And then I made what apparently to him was a startling suggestion. I said, look, they have gone through 4 years of high school math. Presumably, they know how they learn math. Why don't you ask them? And that was quite startling, but that worked out. And from then, I was very fortunate to have leadership from wonderful San Francisco State students, of whom Fred was the first. And I learned how to sue universities and stuff from him. And we now sue the university about every 10 years, because apparently, when you get to be a university manager, your memory starts fading and you forget why it was you had to pay $5 million the last time. But I think what worries me is that I'm not sure the younger generation knows how to do this. You'd think that at San Francisco State, our tradition would be strong enough so that students would understand how you have to continue to fight. So I want now to mention something that I read on the Berkeley disability listserv. Some of you probably are familiar with that. And it sent real chills down my spine, because it told me that people had really forgotten why we need civil rights and what we have to do. When we do civil rights, we must understand that standing up for somebody else's right is reaching out to ourselves as well. I mean, that revelation that I could help other people get into a math class, because I remember how alone I had felt as an 11-year-old trying to fight a school board, and I couldn't get through to them that, so what if I fell? I bounce. So here's what I saw, I read on the Berkeley listserv. It's mostly people with mobility impairments. There are a few blind people on it. And there was a woman who was complaining that when she came out of the co-op, she had to roll over, a metal plate with bumps in it. And she wanted everybody to write to the co-op to take that metal plate out because it was bumpy. And she obviously had no idea why there was that metal plate there. It was marking the curb cut at the end of the sidewalk. And I was stunned, because she could not think through and had no knowledge of anything beyond her own comfort. She never even asked why. It was as if there were not other kinds of people in the world. So I think my message today is something like this. What we may have lost, which we had, was a cross-disability movement. This is one of the very few forms and very few organizations that I really see as trying to understand other kinds of disability. And I'm hoping that when we talk about what the ADA will be like in 50 years, that we will find that people will have continued to work cross-disability, which basically means really trying to understand how other people function and other people's ways of life. Thanks very much.